Yes, we're going to add about the oblates in St. Boniface or Winnipeg.
Yes, when I was at Villa Maria,
mm-hmm.
and they had the workshop with Jerry Arbuckle, the one thing that impressed me the most there was the life of the oblates and their great interest to move forward, to do something,
mm-hmm.
and to really find out, like, what is it that we have to change,
yeah.
in order that we can move forward and really build the church in Canada.
Yeah, do you think it's the unusual for a community to be that way? Like, it's not all communities that alive in their changes, and, you know, as far as
mm-hmm.
I know, I find them rather forward compared
uh-huh.
to many,
compared to many,
several communities I know.
One thing that I have noted, and that's basically in relation to my working with the Scarborough priests and now with the Oblate, missionary orders, this is just a general statement I'm making from my observation
mm-hmm.
with them, missionary orders are much more alive and eager to move forward and do things
mm-hmm.
than what I have discovered among, like, diocesan priests
mm-hmm.
or others.
Yeah, it's easier to sit there and to keep on going, because sometimes, I suppose, sometimes you don't even feel the need. You don't even see the need.
Don't see the need.
If you
no.
stay at home, you don't know what's on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's that kind of work calls forth. While we're taping about this session, what did you think of that session?
That with Gerald Arbuckle?
Yes. How did you perceive that? Because it's a good thing for me to ask you, and I have another question after that.
Yeah.
But the session there at the Villa Maria, what?
In a sense, it's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize all the difficulties and the obstacles and the challenges that have to be faced, it's frightening. When you see how far behind the church is in relation to where it should be. On the other hand, besides being frightening, I also find it very challenging,
mm-hmm.
Especially that whole aspect of the apostolic ministry in order to really build up the church. And my whole thrust also is the need for small Christian communities. I see that as the only way in the future for the church.
When you say small Christian communities, what do you mean by that? Base communities?
Something
within,
similar.
Similar
to the base communities,
yeah.
which has to build up within the parish, yes.
Have
because
you heard of this Baranowski, Arne Baranowski?
No, I haven't heard.
No, he's an American
mm-hmm.
priest that wrote three books on base
communities.
On
base communities.
Within
uh-huh.
the parish.
I think a lot of it has come through my experience down in Guatemala and Honduras, where
that.
They had them.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
seen it.
Right. Yeah.
And see, with the inability of priests to be able to get around, I do feel that parishioners have to minister to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that coming through in base communities.
Mm-hmm. It's like, if I have a struggle with you, might as well have ask you forgiveness rather than to do 2 miles and not even do
mm-hmm.
it all that well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, and another feeling I have is that the Renew program
mm-hmm.
will also help in a beginning of starting to build those.
Yeah, you've never been through Renew.
I have.
Oh, you have? So
I was in the
Hamilton
Diocese.
Yeah.
When I was out in the rural parishes,
mm-hmm.
I was helping in all of those parishes
mm-hmm.
to get Renew organized and
could
started.
Could you see the need here?
Oh, very definitely.
You could, huh?
Very definitely, yes.
Do you think it will work as well as it did elsewhere sometimes?
See, my comparison is with the last work I was doing, which was in rural parishes. The people are close to the soil. They've got time for God and for religion. In a mining town, and probably in big cities, it's very different. They're there for the whole, money, the whole consumerism aspect, they haven't got time for other things. They're so deeply involved in all kinds of things like sports and group, any kind of groups, anything besides religion,
mm-hmm.
that it's very hard for them to find time to put religion into their life. So in that sense, it's going to be very difficult, for example, in a mining town.
Mm-hmm.
Among the native people, I think it's going to be very difficult because the thing that's really important for them is bingo and booze. And to take time for other things.
Like I think through the years they've been estranged to where they were about when they were like 50, 100 years ago, fishing and hunting and
mm-hmm.
leading their...
They're totally away from their own lifestyle.
Here comes about then my second topic, like
mm-hmm.
the apology of the Oblates at Lac Saint-Anne.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the church is guilty somehow towards the Indians? Not to justify the guilt or the non-guilt, but in those lines that we're speaking, like would they have been better left alone rather than that sort of taught or brought out of the bush? It's very hard because I'm trying myself to know what I'm thinking about it. Sometimes I'd rather be against the missionaries in some ways, in many ways.
No, I'm not against it because...
Yeah, I have to understand the why.
Yeah, Christ said, go and teach all nations.
Yes.
But I think where the problem has come in is they've tried to impose the European church on them rather than doing what they are now trying to do, taking a look at their culture, their way of life, etc., and then not imposing
mm-hmm.
religion and Christ on them, but finding it already there and helping to draw it forth.
But could missionaries in those days be...
But in those days they weren't trained to do that.
And
they weren't aware of that.
I remember when I was a child and they were speaking of missions, I always thought I was never meant to be a missionary because it meant to bring my hometown to Africa, to build another similar town and have the same cultures
mm-hmm.
and customs and dress them up alike, you know, and mm-hmm. without being, ignoring completely where I was arriving,
mm-hmm.
rather than, we were never taught the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Like at home, we were buying little Chinese kids, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know, every week, you know, and my joke was, I used to get to buy five for a dollar.
Oh.
You know, like, oh, I found that very cruel.
Yeah, well, that's
very
what
mean.
That is the one thing I changed when I was asked to change the Holy Childhood,
yeah,
the whole
like
concept.
The T-shirts.
We
saying,
did away.
Okay, this week, no, we have 50 to buy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was stealing money from mother to buy them, you know.
Mm.
I got a licking out of that.
Don't blame me.
So I thought I hated Chinese, you know. No more buying. But in this apology,
yeah.
I think people... are trying mainly to find what's wrong with it rather to see what's
mm-hmm.
what's good out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the apology was needed and I think it was good. I'm glad they did it. But there's still a lot of healing that needs to be done among the native people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that has to be done among themselves.
Yeah, because we feel very little when it comes to that, don't we?
Mm-hmm. We can't feel
you know,
it
like
the way they
do. We're not a native
no.
person.
Like I was asked last spring to lead some groups with the native people in regard to the whole question of child abuse
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the pain and anger came out at those meetings.
Oh really?
Yes, but there's no way that I can do the healing for them, but I think part of the healing is to let the pain and let the anger
mm-hmm.
come out and to deal with it then in the
mm-hmm.
open.
And it's a very puzzling situation because the apology made the Oblates and many people react in a very negative manner. They felt that they were condemned, you know, that all what they've done was the shit, you know, and
mm.
And negative and useless, and they have a hard time. Like I don't know anymore what to say when someone tells me, you know, like they're negating all my work and all my
mm-hmm.
efforts. You know,
it would appear that way,
say.
But then It's not just the oblates. I think the government is to blame far more than what the oblates are to blame.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the government that set up those residential schools.
Yeah. But it's unheard of.
Right, exactly. But then, see, as far as imposing the European church, they weren't trained any differently. And so the only thing that, like, it's the same as what I tell to the older people that cannot accept the changes in the church. Well, you were brought up in a certain period in the history of the church,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way it was in the history. And you're trained that way, and it becomes so strong within your system mm-hmm. that it's not easy to
yeah.
change and be different again. And then, like, for the older people, I say, let them go along with the rosary, with things that are important mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah.
And so, like, I can see how the older oblates have a very hard struggle with the
mm-hmm.
whole thing. I can understand that. And I don't think you can change them. The change has to come through young people, young blood
mm-hmm.
coming into the diocese.
Yeah. You have to let time settle things.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, time is the best healer of all.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's the proof of that. Then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That was wild. I mean, we did another 10 minutes at
did
least.
Did we another 10?
No, I'm counting them.